All righty. Hey, boys and girls, ladies and gents and non-binary folk.
Yes.
Welcome to another episode of Black Girls Laughing.
Okay. See, like, we had a level of silly, and you just had
And I took it. I took it one step up. No. You know, it was a key change. It was the key change in the laughter, in the silly, in the goofy.
No.
And I just like to just push it. No. I'm a pusher.
No.
I'm a pusher. You're
a
pusher.
You're a drug pusher? Should I write about you in my burn book?
Well, I have my burn book. I write terrible things about people in it. So, sure then. Let's be equal.
Like Kati Haring. She's a drug pusher because she's said she's a pusher because she pushes people.
She is a pusher. The other day at my job, everyone had on pink. And I was like, yo, guys, it's not even Wednesday. Like, why are we wearing pink?
Yeah, why was everyone wearing pink?
I don't know. There's like a row of people that had on pink during the staff meeting, and I was just like, what's up? Why wasn't there a memo? No. I didn't know that, like, on staff meeting day, we all wore pink. Like, that's cool. That's cute.
No,
I like to be a part of it. I like to participate.
Yeah. I got some pink. What up?
I actually own no pink, but.
Yeah. I don't know her. So what's up?
Oh, nothing much really. You know, working, getting shit done. Went on a hike. You know, I've been doing, this is like my rhythm. My rhythm of life. It's like the weekends. I go out and hike and get my butt real sore climbing mountains. And it's beautiful. Thank Mother Nature for creating the mountains, and thank you Colorado for not ruining your mountains. Oh, woo.
You know, you said rhythm of life, so now I'm sitting here and like, because the rhythm of life is a powerful beat, puts a tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet, rhythm on the inside. Do you not know that song?
I have no idea what the hell you're talking
from
about.
From Sweet Charity? You have never been in a musical. I refuse to believe that you're a musical theater person.
I've never been in a musical. I've definitely been in musicals.
You're lying. It's a lie.
I've definitely been in musicals. It's a faux pas.
This is fake.
I got pictures of my ass in a blonde ass wig. So, yes, I've been in musicals.
Lies. You're lying. It's a lie. All lies.
I'm sorry. I don't know all the songs from Sweet Charity.
All lies don't matter.
Oh, man. Damn. That's just, that like hurt me at the core, man. Questioning my love of musical theater.
That's the most popular song from Sweet Charity. You don't even have to know them all.
Is it really?
Yes. It's been in everything.
But the number one is the Real Big Spender song.
That's what they want you to believe.
That's the one everyone knows.
No.
That's the one I've seen in multiple, like, sitcoms of, like, little girls that love that song wanting to do it for, like, the talent show, and their dads are, like, scandalized by the choreography that they put on.
You've been watching too many white girls. That's why. That's why you don't know the real gem.
Tell me these black girls that have been doing the real gem that I'm missing. Like, what are you doing?
I'm about to link you to everything. I'm putting show notes are about to be amplified.
Okay, lit with all kinds of Sweet Charity references. Okay, I'm down. Teach me.
I'm about to.
Is it on Netflix? Can I watch it on Netflix? Because then maybe we could just like squash this, and I can watch it, and then I can get my musical theater card back or whatever.
I don't know. Is it on Netflix? It is not on Netflix.
Okay, well. Oh, well.
Well, I'm still
putting this on. I mean, I know my friend Seamus will be mad at me. He loves Sweet Charity. But I don't know.
He'll probably say that. Oh, my mic just fell, y'all. Sorry.
Yeah.
That was so random.
I was like, what is that fart sound?
That never, it's in the same spot. It's always in. I don't know. Sammy Davis Jr. sings Rhythm of Life, and you don't know this song? I'm stressed out.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Like, how many cards are you trying to get pulled at one time?
Right? Well, I'm looking at it now, okay? I'm figuring it out. I'll get it figured out, guys. I will know the song. I won't be left behind. Okay?
You're about to be Kirk Cameron left behind.
No!
I hope you all get the reference. Remind me to link to that. I'm putting it in the notes, a link to that, so people aren't like, who? What?
Oh, gosh, those terrible movies.
My dad loves those movies. Surprise, surprise.
Well, I mean, I think parents are supposed to love whatever religious propaganda is close to their religion.
Those movies were just a lot. Anyway, let's move on.
Okay, let's do the John.
Yeah, the John.
Boot, 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 boot. So, I'll start the John to talk about the passing of a rock and roll originator, the beginning of that sound, Chuck Berry. He died, passed away at 90 years old on Saturday, March 18th. You know, I listened to a bunch of Chuck Berry this morning to sort of remind myself of the sound and remind, because like I know that I've listened to these songs before, but just like taking that moment to like listen today was really, really like solidified how all of it, all of rock and roll started with Chuck Berry, and then seeing all of these, you know, very well known white rock and roll stars. And I'm talking about like the Bruce Springsteens and the Mick Jaggers type of people paying their homage. It's really explaining how their sound would not exist without Chuck Berry. Because, you know, rock and roll has been, the roots of black people in rock and roll have been erased in many ways. And like there's moments where it comes back and where we understand that history. But people still think that Elvis is king and that Elvis started it all. And that's like Elvis is late in the history of rock and roll. But yeah, 90 years old. I mean, he lived a long life. Has a major legacy, and, you know, rock and roll, Hall of Famer, all of that.
Can I say I love the way you said homage?
Homage.
Instead of paying homage?
Homage. Homage.
Give me homage. Homage.
Homage.
It was like
homage.
A soft H. It was very bourgeois. Like when you said it, my face, I don't know if you saw my face light up, but I was just like.
I was like, what is she looking at?
You saying homage.
Oh, there we go.
I like
Chuck Berry. Passed.
King, the king of rock and roll, not this
crust. Yeah, the originator, the creator.
Not this crust.
The alpha, the dusty. Omega.
Okay. My John is another tale of why you can't be brown in America. Well, you can be, but not without white people just being themselves, truly. Just being themselves. So I'm just going to start reading the article, start telling you the story of what happened, and then you can obviously pick out what I'm talking about from this. So picture girls' day out. You're with your friends, you're with your sister and your two friends, and you're like, I'm gonna go out, I'm not gonna eat healthy, I'm gonna like do it up and go to this fancy restaurant on the beach, and we're gonna eat good and we're gonna live it up. So you're there and your waiter comes up and you order grilled cheese and you even splurge and you add bacon, and then you even get an appetizer. And y'all are so ready to get this food, and you can't wait, and you put in your order, and all of a sudden, your waiter looks at you and says, I need to make sure you're from here.
What?
So, as any normal person would say, you're confused, you're perplexed, you did nothing but order some bacon, grilled cheese, some watermelon, and a cheese plate. And suddenly, your waiter is asking you for your ID. For why? Why would he ask for your ID when you didn't order any alcohol? All you ordered was grilled cheese and bacon, some watermelon, and some cheese. Well, if you're a Latina woman in California, in Trump's America, it would make sense, I suppose, for some janky-looking, white-ass bruh that's supposed to just serve you your greasy bacon grilled cheese to ask you for your ID. So this tale is the tale of Diana Carrillo, who lives in California. She shared her incident on Facebook. She's 24 years old. She lives in Orange County, California. She decided to go out with her sister and their friends, you know, abandon the healthy eating and have a fun food. I don't know if bacon grilled cheese is fun food, but hey, we all live our lives differently.
That's good. It's tasty. It's a nice little snack.
She had this experience. I'm baffled that they gave him their IDs, but after the whole incident, they went over to the manager and told them what happened, and he offered them a new section in his business card, but after that, they didn't even stay. They just decided to leave. She shared this on social media, hoping that, you know, things like this, Sometimes starting a wildfire is the only way to make sure something actually happens, which in this instance, that man should not be working with people in the public, clearly, because he has some messed up ideals of just other human beings, and he's clearly trash. So because of the backlash from this, obviously the restaurant responded. They offered them a VIP experience. They pledged to donate 10% of their weekend's proceeds to a nonprofit that they chose. and they declined, but did ask that the restaurant still donate money. And, like, are we going to have to get to a point where we're seriously screening people who are working in the public sphere to, like, make sure they're not absolute racist garbage? Like, that might be something we have to implement. Like, how do I know I'm not going to go into Starbucks and someone says something effed up? Like, we've seen this way too many times, and I'm just over it. Like, I sound really apathetic because I'm just like, dude, and also, like, you're in California. And also, what?
I mean, it just, it makes no sense to me because it, It just means that has the world stopped visiting the United States? Do people not visit from around the world to California? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, even if they presented ID or had a passport from a different country, would you not take their money? Do you not take tourist money? Like, who the hell cares where they came from if they have the money to pay for your services?
If you're about to get a tip, who cares who's sitting there? Like,
it's just. Oh, but, you know, racism gets in the way of people making money all the time. So.
Not me.
No, I mean, not, I mean, we're not racist.
Well, I guess it does get in the way of me making money.
Because you're not serving any racist people.
Yeah, and like, maybe if I got a position at a job somewhere and someone was racist, and then I had to clock them, I would presumably get fired, thus getting in the way of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing the Lord's work. Sorry, I had to, y'all. But that's it. That was all I had.
All right. So, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Do, 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 do. It's Black Podcasting Week. Yes, it's so very chic. You can tell all your friends.
What the hell?
It's the most. I don't know. I just made that up.
I mean, I was pleasantly surprised. That's why I was like, oh. Y'all, I was dancing like, oh, she's really going with it. We're doing it. We're doing this.
But it is Black Podcasting Week.
Woo!
We participated last year, and it is back by popular demand.
Yeah. So, we're recording this at the beginning. You'll hear this towards the end, but know that we're celebrating all week. We hope y'all are checking out the podcast all week. And if you haven't been, make sure you catch up. Follow the tweets. Follow hashtag Black Podcast Week. You'll find us. You'll find so many. I feel like I found so many podcasts to listen to from that hashtag last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see who came out this past year that maybe I don't know about that I'll find from the hashtag. I'm excited to like reconnect again with some podcasts that maybe we chatted with and haven't talked to in a while. I'm excited to retweet everything that y'all are doing. We're excited to retweet everything that y'all are doing. It's just mm-hmm. gonna be a good time.
So yeah, I mean, if you're following us on Twitter, if you're following us on Facebook, we're gonna be sharing everything about it. This episode drops on a Thursday, so if you're listening on a Thursday, you know that we're going to be spreading the news about news, politics, and social justice podcasts. And then on Friday, it's going to be all about new podcasts, so anything that launched in 2016 up until now. So that includes us still. So if you want to chat about us, you can. And then on Saturday, March 25th, we're going to be just talking about favorites. So please use the hashtag Black Podcast Week and talk about your favorite podcast. Maybe it's us. And then please join us for the Twitter chat that's going to be happening on Sunday, March 26th at 7 p.m. Eastern. It will be a Twitter chat where we're talking about what it's like to be a Black podcast. You can share, connect, find other awesome podcasts, and you can chat with us because we'll be participating. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I've been thinking a lot about this Twitter chat about what it's like to be a black podcast, because I feel like a lot of the well-known, it's just a really interesting dichotomy between the really well-known black podcasts and then, I guess, quote, the other black podcasts that, I just have a lot to say about the difference mm-hmm. in that experience. Again, maybe not understanding it from maybe a more well-known podcast, but our experience that we've had so far.
Well, I mean, I think when it comes to black podcasts and the greater podcast community, black podcasts become a genre in themselves instead of just being podcasts that are happen to be helmed by black people. And that even just because you have a black face of your podcast, that it has to be a certain way, or that we're only going to recognize a certain grouping of them because those are the ones that, you know, because there's only one black anything. These are the one or five that get to be at the top, and all the other ones don't exist or just live only inside of the bubble of black podcast land. When we can compete and we can take a share of listenership that goes beyond whatever that may mean to, you know, the ignorant person that's thinking it.
Yeah, I mean, that is pretty much how I feel towards a lot of it, seeing how a lot of the well-known black podcasts also started from a different platform than, I guess, we have or other black podcasts that I happen to listen to. So then they get the position of being one of five that everyone of not just black people, quote, yeah, listen to. Yeah,
those crossover hits or whatever. Like, yeah. No, that's just BS.
Like, sure, if I had already written a book, been on television, and everyone already knew who I was, I would like to think that anything else I put out after that would clearly perform well beyond people that are doing this across the country in their prospective bedrooms with two MacBooks.
Mm-hmm. And what I'm interested in is, like, so black podcasts, how they'll continue to be pigeonholed into this, into one sphere, and then the other ones being eliminated from even the narrative because it's limited to only one. But, like, there's a lot, podcasts are still have so much room to grow in general, and there's so many people and so many organizations jumping on that bandwagon. So it's still a great space to be in, but it's also still, you know, it's becoming more competitive because of that. And yeah, I'm just worried about that shine being able to spread across many different podcasts.
Yeah, and I mean, it's getting to the point now where it's like, when you first start, you want to do something different. But now, I mean, even looking at the Life According to Her 100 Black Women podcasts, there's really, like, no plane left undiscovered at this point in podcasts already.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of, like, you have to continue to rethink about it. But anyways, I've got some ideas for how we can refresh ourselves in 2017.
I've been in Photoshop all day, so yeah.
That's awesome. That is awesome sauce. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just excited to connect with different people. Like, number one, I think our number one goal is to connect with you guys, our listeners, during this week, and two other awesome podcasters, and see how we can work together. Because it's through collaboration, it's through things like this, like Black Podcast Week, that will help us all find new audiences and connect in a deeper, more impactful way.
Yeah. So, Black Podcast Week. How exciting. That's a John.
Oh, yeah. Woo, woo, woo. All right. So I have a You Better Work this week. That's not really a You Better Work. It's, you know, again, I'm always getting in that, like, check it realm.
You creeping in my zone.
Hey, I got a lot of feelings, and I'm seeking help on those feelings, and I thought I would share what I've been learning and how people have been helping me out with my feelings.
You know, you could just call it a check it. I don't care if you swerve in my lane.
Okay, well, I'm swerving all up in your lane with this check it today, and it's all about coping with a big move and coping with homesickness. Last week was really, really, really hard for me. It just became like really real how I haven't been with my friends and I don't see my friends and that I have no support system outside of my husband in my new home. I like all my work friends and they're all great, but you know, it takes a long time before you can really, really, truly feel comfortable with people at work. So, you know, They're good during 9 to 5, but it's just not real yet. I went to an event this past week. I went to this meetup event, and I loved the content of it. I did not feel welcomed at the event. It was like a women's entrepreneur event in Colorado Springs, and yeah, everyone knew each other. It was very much a clicky space where they've been meeting monthly for however many months now, and they're all buddies. And I felt this way doing other classes and doing other things, even in Philadelphia. Like when the first class I ever took with Girl Develop It, I didn't feel extremely welcomed in that space the first time around. But as I continued to go out, I felt better. So like, it's not all their fault, but like it did make it was hard, and so it just made the blow even harder. Just like how sad I was, like there was a day at work I just was crying in my cube because it was just like I was just sad. I miss my parents, I miss my mother, I miss my grandparents, I miss being really close to family that if I do want to see them I could just jump on a bus or catch a train. I miss just being able to see my friends weekly, you know, just to eat some chicken together, you know, nothing big. Like, I've been literally reminiscing about that day that my husband made us martinis, we drank a lot, and we danced on, like, and, like, periscoped all night.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that was so much fun. I'm not going to have that with friends at my home for a very long time. But I went to the internet and I went to my friends and I was like, hey, friends, I'm struggling. If you have any tips on how to cope with a big move, please share them with me. And my friends came through and it was really nice to see so many awesome tips and awesome suggestions of things. Some of the things I was already doing, but it was nice to just find out that I was on the right track. So I just wanted to share some tips with y'all, just in case you're coping with a big move or separation in some way. Maybe you're studying abroad. Maybe you just moved for a job or for any other financial reason that has changed, made you move, and you're just separated from your people. Here's a couple of tips. The first one came from my aunt that lives in Denver. Like, she's sort of like a distant aunt, but she was like, hey, lean on me. We can hang out. Your family is here. So if you move somewhere, you know, you might have some family, even if you don't like your tightest family, like your favorite auntie and your favorite cousin doesn't live in your new town. You might have some family that's close by. They might be a little bit distant, but if you have some connection with them, be it on social media or just like their number or an email, reaching out to them and just having a chance to connect with them might be fruitful. I'm meeting with my family for brunch in a couple of weeks and hopefully that'll be great. So I'll report back on how that goes, but like, it's a way of it's a way of having some familiarity. You know, you don't have to have airs with your family, unless you do, unless your family's like that. Some people got bougie families. I'm sorry if you do. But if your family's like real and awesome and they want to be with you, reach out. Hopefully they'll say, hey. Then someone that I used to work with was like, you should send some physical mail to people. And I'm like, yeah. So I'm collecting some addresses so I can send my friends notes and hopefully they'll send me things back. I like the idea of the ritual of sending mail. And even think about that family thing again. Your grandma might be someone that would be nice to send something to. Like, think about those people that might actually send something back to you. And like, people like your grandmas and your aunties that, you know, that are older, they could really appreciate it. And you're also speaking to them in a way that they're used to. Like, older people in your life are used to sending letters because that's what they were doing for so long before email and text message took over. So I'm thinking about reaching out to some of my older relatives through those means. The other one is like joining a meetup group, taking a class. You know, like the first time around didn't work for me, but I am going to try to go to that meetup group again. I went to a dance event last night, and they were talking about how they also do classes. So I'm thinking about taking a dance class.
Yeah.
So I could like weekly go meet people, move my body, which is already a goal that I already have for me in general. It's like moving my body more. So going to a class, making some art, moving, seeing people every week, even if you don't become friends with the people that you see in these classes or meetups, because maybe you're just going there, you're taking the lesson, you're taking the dance routine, you just have it, and you're just taking that time in that class. Just the act of seeing the same people outside of just seeing the same people at work will be beneficial. You'll start to feel like you have more of a community, even if it doesn't turn into like a friendship right away. And in that same vein, make some art. Take some time to make some things. I know I haven't been in a place to actually make the art that I practice, so I'm not trying to like write plays or, you know, be in a play right now or anything like that. But I've been taking some time to crochet again. I talked about this before, but just like having that like that time to like physically make something and see something. You're taking that time and it turns into an actual product, a tangible thing, can be really helpful to fill up that time in between going to work or and feeling blue. Make some Skype dates. Make some actual time on your schedule where you're going to go to your computer and see someone that you love face to face. I mean, again, productive friendship 101, B&B. Doing our podcast every week, but it definitely does feed a part of my like loneliness soul of seeing my friend and seeing her face once a week for a couple of hours is great. So like I'm trying to make more of those Skype dates, more of those times to just see all of my friends and family. Make some playlists. Make some music that reminds you of home. So
my daddy, you know, Alabama, my Louisiana. Yeah.
Yes, my playlists right now are looking like Holy Trinity Nights at the Dolphin. Because it reminds me of my friends listening to Beyonce and Rihanna and Nicki Minaj, and just listening to black women slay in general reminds me of my black girlfriends that I am missing so much. I'm also have some playlists that sound like karaoke sessions of yore. So I'm like thinking of all my friends from my old job that we used to go do karaoke every couple of weeks, and I'm listening to some things that I'm shocked that I'm listening to, and slash is making me like shocked that maybe I miss those people.
Like, so, what? Give me one song.
New York State of Mind.
In New York. Oh, I feel like I know.
Like, yeah, I'm just like, oh, I miss these people. Who knew?
I feel like I know who you're talking about.
But like, it's just nice to, like, listen to things that remind you of different people. I've been listening to, like, some Depeche Mode and, like, things that I'm, like, shocked about. But again, it reminds me of little people I used to know back in the day.
Well, if you need me to send you any K-pop to make you think of me. Oh,
please send me some K-pop. And then comfort food. Make some freaking comfort food. Make the food that makes you think of home. Make the food that makes you think of friends. So I got some ziti and some cheese. And my ass is making some mac and cheese tonight. Because I love to make it. I've made it so many times for friends. And it's been a way of bonding with people. That I'm going to make some mac and cheese. And eat the hell out of it all this week. And it's going to be great. And finally, get the hell out of your house. Go check out the cool stuff in your new town. Every weekend, I try to keep my weekends really tight, really busy with a lot of different things that I want to do. I'm checking out different trails. I'm going to check out different art. I'm seeing what events are happening in Colorado Springs. I joined the events calendar email for Colorado College, which is like one of the local schools. And I'm going to be going to this really cool exhibit about destructing Mammy, Sapphire, and all of these stereotypes of Black women in the media. And I wouldn't have known about it unless I just tried to find those events. And I found this cool thing, and now I'm going to check it out. Maybe I'll see some people of color there, and maybe I'll make some new friends. But, seek it out. There, wherever you live, even if it seems like it's a small town, there's someone that has an events calendar. And if there isn't one, maybe you should make it. And you, by just looking up what's happening and compiling a list, throwing it on the internet, and maybe you'll find some other friends that are looking for that type of stuff. So, yeah. It's cool. Like, thank you to all my friends that reached out. Like, it was really beautiful. I had so many people that, even if you didn't reply to that Facebook, to the Facebook thread, if you reached out to me, like, people, like, texted me, called me, sent me some messages. It's like, people that I didn't even know, my friends that were actually from Colorado Springs, that I didn't even know were from Colorado Springs. Like, you know, I grew up there, and they're, like, explaining different places for me to go to.
There you go.
You know, gave me a chance to be, like, you know, heart to heart, like, you know, there's no Black people here. How do I find Black people? And they were like, oh, this is what, when I was, one of my friends, he's a white gay man. And he's like, well, when I was trying to date Black men, I would go here. And like, I was like, and I was like, okay, cool.
Weird, but not going to comment, but okay.
Whatever. White people want to know people of color, and they know where they went to go find people of color. So, hey. He had more information than my Black ass, so.
There you go.
But yeah, that's all. Let us know if you moved. Let us know. Tell us on Facebook. Tell us on Twitter. I would love to commiserate with you about how hard it is to move. If there's any other tips that you have about dealing with a big move, please share it with us. Send us an email at blackgirlslaughing@gmail.com. I would love to connect.
Yeah. All right, guys. I also have a check it this week. I've been thinking a lot about a lot of things, and have been writing them down because my brain continues to just be like, so my brain feels really cloudy today, but it's been feeling pretty bogged down since the new year started, because, you know, being jobless can really allows your brain too much time to think. And I also just got assigned a therapist after my intake appointment. So I've been thinking about things that maybe I should talk about, things that I have been avoiding, maybe, that, you know, if I should finally talk about them, could help me move on or open new doors, maybe even just psychologically, maybe not physically, but, you know, in my own mind, open a few positive doors here instead of negative doors. And really thinking about how I have terrible follow through. This is something I've been very aware of in myself. Haven't really been clear on how to fix it. I've tried numerous methods, whether it's writing everything down, whether it's just throwing myself into something until it's done, whether it's, you know, doing that method where you work on something for like 50 minutes and then take a break for 10, or YouTubing and Pinteresting and Googling and Instagramming, all of these ideas to keep me organized, to keep me motivated. And then I decided this morning when I was really thinking about it, and I was like actually writing in a journal, which I haven't done in a long time. Like, usually when I write about something, it's either on the internet right away. Right away in the fact that I, like, type it and then read it again and then post it. But haven't, like, really taken a pen in my hand and written on paper, like, what I'm thinking or what I'm feeling. And then I was like, well, I can't be the only one, like, struggling with having no follow-through. So then I started looking up, like, this idea that losing interest quickly in things could also be a side effect, quote, side effect of depression. Mm-hmm. They're linked, your apathy for things, I mean, goes with your mood, like in depression, where you could be really psyched about something and suddenly the interest is gone. The motivation is gone. The follow through is gone. So then I decided to look up like a couple people that have been talking about it or writing about their experiences with it specific, and like on no specific subject. The article I found just so happened to talk about weight loss, which is also something else I've been thinking about, because last year I lost 30 pounds and I was like, I want to do that times more this year, but I've been lacking motivation. I mean, is it motivation I'm lacking, or is it follow through? Because I do have all these reasons why I want to do it, and it does get me pumped up, but then I don't actually do it. Or I don't actually take all of the steps, like meal prepping, which I hate. But like,
girl,
taking it and like being real. And I found this really awesome article that said, your problem isn't your motivation. Your problem is your follow through. And that's because motivation is in the mind and follow through is the actual practice. So motivation is conceptual and follow through is practical. And this idea that the solution to a motivation problem is the exact opposite of the solution to a follow through problem, which I was like, what? No, that doesn't make any sense. Like, shouldn't they be the same thing? Because if I'm motivated, then I'm going to follow through. But I know that's not true. I'm motivated to do a lot of things. And then they said, the key to follow through is stop thinking. To shut down the conversation that goes on your head before it starts. Don't take the bait. Stop arguing with yourself. And just do it. It's kind of like the vibe I was getting. But like making very specific pointed decisions. Like, I saw this thing about this girl really wanted to work out in the morning and make it a part of her morning routine. So she tried this thing where she slept in her workout clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Got up and she was like, well, I'm already ready to work out, so like my sneakers are right at the foot of my bed when I wake up, so I guess I'm going to the gym. And really cultivating this environment of like holding yourself accountable. But then, I mean, some things help other people. Like, I read someone who's like, I knew if I dropped $500 for a trainer, I would go to the gym. Mm-hmm. I don't have $500 to drop on a trainer. But really creating this environment to help you follow through, which is something I do struggle with. I say in my head I'm going to do something, but I don't put myself in the environment to do it. I say I'm going to stop mindlessly scrolling through the internet and actually work on something, and then I don't actually exit out of the screen or temporarily block the website, or I say I'm gonna meal prep, but I don't set out any of the food containers or unthaw my food on a Sunday to make meals for the week. So instead of saying I'm going to do something, just actually doing the tasks. Like in my head, when I think I'm going to meal prep, I should be at that time walking to the freezer in the fridge and pulling out the ingredients. I'm interested to see if this will help me anymore, thinking of it as motivation versus follow through being the actual action, the more practical part. I don't know. I just know that I'm really bad with it, and I am going to talk to my therapist about it and see maybe if it's all just a buildup of everything else that's in my head. But I'm really bad. I have really bad follow through when it comes to a lot of things. So that's what I've got for a check it.
I like it. I know that I have horrendous follow through. So, and like starting from when I started to apply for this job that brought me to Colorado Springs was when I finally started to actually get some real follow-through. And it is about making those little tricks with yourself to make it impossible for you to not achieve your goal. It's a lot of different ways of compounding it. And like thinking about And rethinking how things work. Like, I know I need to budget. And that, in an abstract way, just doesn't make any sense on, how to do it. Like, oh, I need a budget. And so now I just, feel bad whenever I spend money. That fucking sucks. You don't want to feel bad every time you do something, even if it's something that's, necessary for yourself. So rethinking what that means. It's like, I need a budget because I like to go out to eat. How much can I spend each month on going out to eat and treating it as that gift to myself of, I know I like to go out and eat a meal outside of my house, focusing in on it that way. So it's a lot of different things that you can reorient your thinking on it to put it into action and have that follow through. And none of that has to do with motivation, because you have all the motivation in the world to do everything.
Yep.
I'm motivated to change the goddamn world, but if I'm just sitting at home, there's nothing to do about it.
So, I mean,
thank you for that.
Yeah. That's what I'm here for, is to make y'all check it. So I guess the time is here for us to be anxious, us to freak out. That's what
my favorite part of the show, Anxiety Corner. No, it's good. It's good to get the anxiety out. I know I've had some mixed I had some mixed feelings in the last episode. I was like, is this helpful? But at the same, the act of it has been helpful for me of sort of figure out the thing that's pissing you off the most and try to come up with something intelligent to say to our listeners about it.
Yeah, am constantly every day changing what my anxiety corner thing is going to be as we keep moving through this, the P word, because I'm not going to say it. Just know it rhymes with residency.
I've been digging everyone that doesn't call him by his name. And they call and they don't talk about the P word either. They just call him 45. And I really dig that. So like, fuck him. He's 45. It's just the deal. It's just like a number, another number we have to deal with because that's how fucking numbers work. We had 44. Now we're on 45. Let's deal with it. Obama was the shit. Now 45 is here and we'll get through it. And hopefully the world won't be burnt by the time we'll still be here.
I was about to say, will we get through it?
I mean, I don't know. I question it every day, especially as I learn more about, you know, the dismantling of our government and North Korea. So, but those two things, you know, Japan just had some freaking, they did some drills. They did some nuclear drills. Like, getting little babies' heart rates up. Like, making kids not be kids anymore because they have to deal with this in school. Like it's freaking World War II again.
Yeah.
Well, it's World War III, right?
I was about to say.
Or IV. I think we're in World War IV. We just didn't recognize that World War III was happening because we live in America and they do a good job of distracting us.
So, you or me? You or me?
I can go.
Okay.
Let me know.
Starting in 3, 2, 1, now.
So, do you know that we have never had a budget? We don't pass a budget. Like, every year. The United States is just going around spending money all willy-nilly, but they don't follow basic Suze Orman, like, how to have a budget 101 shit that everyone's been taught. Or we're chastised on how we should all have a budget, and we tell the poor that they should have a budget, but the United States doesn't have a budget that it follows. So we're just going around acting like a goddamn thought, spending money willy-nilly without really knowing, not really having any money to spend. Just like, oh, our babies can pay for it someday. So, do you know why we don't have a budget? Because no one wants to vote on it. So, 45 just dropped a budget, right? And it's a skinny budget that cuts a lot of stuff, a lot of important stuff that we all care about. The NEA, Meals on Wheels, small business protections, all this stuff is getting taken away. You can look, there's a lot of articles out there that shows like the big winners and losers for this budget. And there's so many. But nothing's going to happen with it because Congress gets to just, can either say it's dead on arrival or it's the budget that they're going to be working off of. And most likely they'll try to work on it, but they don't really have to make any true decisions on how this money will be spent. So they will decide to push a continuing resolution, which will mean we'll continue to have the government fund shit, but we won't explain the reason why they're going to be funding things, what they're going to be funding. So on the end of this month, they're going to do that again. But instead of thinking fiscally responsibly, we won't. We'll just cut money and spend it.
It's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. It's over.
Ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1.
So, Brittany briefly mentioned one of the programs that's on the chopping block and that dude's proposed budget, Meals on Wheels. So, Meals on Wheels is not a federal program. I want to start that off first. And Meals on Wheels does not directly get government funding or federal government funding. It gets money through the Community Development Block Grants, which goes out, $3 billion goes out to the program, and it gets spread out. And it started in the Ford administration, and it goes to states and cities. Philadelphia gets a lot of money for that. And it's used to combat poverty, and Meals on Wheels is a program that gets a lot of money for that. Meals on Wheels is run by mostly volunteers, and they feed mostly the elderly, the poor elderly. And Meals on Wheels is on the chopping block as a direct result of the Community Development Block Grants being on the chopping block in this administration. So I wanted to clarify that. There are people, even the Meals on Wheels, like, director tweeted out that, the representative Keith Ellison of Minnesota tweeted that Trump called for the elimination of Meals on Wheels, when really he called for the elimination of the Community Development Block Grants. But I do agree with the idea that this is the starvation budget. I know that we see a lot of those memes on the internet that's like, this administration, like, their way to combat everything that they're chopping is to not be poor, or, like, guess I'll die. But that is quickly becoming a reality that we may be living in. There's over 5,000 Meals on Wheels programs throughout the country. Again, these are the poor elderly. These are the, quote, elders that we should be respecting. These are possibly a lot of vets that letting go hungry.
Sorry. My phone was on, like, silent, but the time went off and didn't make a noise. That was my ding, ding, ding was my attempt.
Ooh, girl.
To save. Sorry. It was on silent, didn't notice. But can we,
No.
Fuck Paul Ryan. Oh, can I just say that?
Yeah, you can say that and that's it.
Dreaming about cutting the poor with a budget since sitting at the keg. He literally said that. He was dreaming about this since college. It's like, ah.
Anyway, moving on from dumpster fires, we've got the Throwback Jam, which I pick for this week. And it goes a little something like, 'cause if at first you don't succeed, you can dust it off and try again. Dust yourself off and try again, try again, try again. But if you don't succeed, yeah, you can dust it off and try again. Dust yourself off and try again, try again, try again. So, the Queen, rest in peace, Aaliyah, with Try Again. I watched the music video again, and wow, that shit is so good. But YouTube is really lacking in HD quality Aaliyah music videos. So if y'all go look this up on YouTube, just know that the quality of the music videos might be subpar at best. But that does not take away from the absolute bangers that she gave us in her time in the music industry and on planet Earth. So that is my jam. And it also, I feel like, goes with my check it, with following through, of just getting back up. We're going to try again. We're going to follow this through again. Right after we record, I'm going to the gym because I'm trying to follow through. I even dressed in my gym clothes before we started recording so I can set up the environment for me to follow through. So that's the kind of mood I'm in, y'all. So hopefully when you hear this on Thursday, I'll be like, I went to the gym every day this week. I'll let y'all know.
Yay!
Yay!
Good song. I love me some Aaliyah.
Yes.
I mean, you cannot be born in 1987 and not love Aaliyah. It's just like,
you can't be alive in the 90s and not love Aaliyah.
Yeah.
At all. That's crazy.
Oh, it was for that movie. Which movie was this song for?
Is it Jackie Chan movie?
Yeah. Is it Jackie Chan? That's not Jackie Chan.
I feel like...
it's like Romeo Must Die or something. Wasn't it that?
Girl, I don't remember. I was listening to it for the song, not...
I'm just trying to remember what movie it was from. Because you know her other song, Because I'm gonna let that body tell me that somebody... That's like from Dr. Doolittle.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so, like, each song, you know... Back in the day, a video had a movie that it was connected to.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Who is...
anyways.
Who is... now I need to know who's in this music video.
That's like Jet Li, right?
Yeah. Romeo Must Die.
Boom.
I don't think I saw that.
No, never. I've just never been into that. Like, those movies are not for me. They did not make...
I mean, it's
different demo.
It's a loose adaptation of Romeo and Juliet, so I'm surprised I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Back when that shit was cool.
Yeah. When everyone was doing loose Shakespearean adaptations. But it wasn't Julia Stiles, so...
yeah, I was on the phone with a client, with a potential client, and he was like, yeah, this summer we're bringing a hip-hop Romeo and Juliet.
Let's move
on. And I was like, what the hell?
So the giggle, cackle, roar for this week. I have a giggle.
Cool, I have a roar.
Ooh. So I'll start with the giggle since it's the quieter of the two. My giggle is quintessential B giggle. And it is to prove that via social media, this world is so small. And you can talk to anyone. You could talk to your fave on Twitter. You could end up on a TV show via Twitter. You could end up doing a song with someone you love via Twitter. You could bring together American rap and K-hip-hop together via Twitter. And that has happened with the Wale and Rap Monster collaboration, which is making me giggle because it's so weird how that happened. So, Rap Monster is the leader of BTS, the K-pop group that I talk about all the time. They're my favorite K-pop group. He's the leader, and he's also the one in the group that speaks English the most, and he speaks it pretty well. Tweeted about his favorite rappers. He listened, him and a lot of the group listen to a lot of American artists, obviously, as K-pop wouldn't exist without American music, specifically black music and black people and hip-hop, but that's a conversation for another day. That he really likes Wale, and via Twitter, all of a sudden, these two started talking, and Wale was tweeting about collab ? And all of a sudden you see these pictures of Rapmon, that's his shortened name, Rapmon, and Wale in the studio together. They really via Twitter set up this collaboration, and the song is out now, and it's called Change, and it's pretty good. I only listened to it once, but I was just like, what the power of social media can make South Korea and America come together in the studio. And it's crazy. And it makes me giggle. And I was excited. And I also just wanted a fangirl in my giggle this week. So that is my giggle. We'll link to it, obviously. Check it out. Maybe I'll throw in a couple BTS links in there too, so someone else can talk to me about K-pop. And even though it's problematic, it's really catchy. And yeah. The end.
Cool. The world is small. K-pop is global. Everyone loves everything. Loves each other. Good music finds good music. All right. So my roar is about the Hood Incubator. It is the first person of color focused cannabis business accelerator. So, as you know, marijuana has become legalized across many states, be it medical marijuana or recreational marijuana. But, you know, Black people have been making money and been going to jail off of marijuana for years. You've read the real Jim Crow, the new Jim Crow, Michelle Alexander, all of that stuff. We know these stats and figures. And what the white man has come through, got these laws passed, and now he's about to make a whole bunch of money off of the years of suffering of this war on drugs. So three Black women have come together to create the Hood Incubator. And so this group is really focused on taking these people that have already been making so much money that they know they have their client base, they have been able to make a solid business for themselves in the Black market of selling marijuana illegally, and help them turn that business know-how and that business understanding that they already have, they understand their product, they understand their customer, and turning that into them opening up their own dispensaries and brick and mortar storefronts. And I'm just like, yes, there's so many laws that are trying to stop people of color from making money in these newly recognized legalized states. So in California and Colorado, if you have a felony or a misdemeanor for having drug possession or for selling these drugs, you are ineligible for getting these licenses, which is, again, just slapping people of color in the face for a system that has been created to be worked against them. But these Black women are coming to save the day. So I'm going to share an article. We're going to share an article about this, and also a YouTube video that they've actually made about who they are. And who they're trying to serve. And if this is some kind of business, if this is a business that you've been trying to get into, but because of the way that the world works, you have been left out, and you want to work in this green, in the green industry, and be a part of this green rush, check them out. Maybe there's a space for you. Maybe there's something that you could be a part of, because it just makes no sense that for private prisons and for the Justice Department to make so much money off of the imprisonment of us because of this drug, for us now to in turn not make money now that it's legal, doesn't make any damn sense. And so I'm excited that they've started this incubator. And if we see anything else about it, you know, I'm going to share it, because I want us to make money off of this, because this is... We know this business already. Why can only white people make money off of vices? Why can't we?
Agreed.
And it's also just medicine at the end of the day too. I mean, if you really like, and again, we're gonna let these pharmaceutical companies figure out a way to make money off of it, and not the people that have been cultivating it forever. Please.
No, thank you.
But shout out to the Hood Incubator. Like, this is it's giving people the business skills to be able to have their own cannabis business. And I know, and I want to be able to support the people that go through this accelerator. And I hope that you guys are creating businesses in Colorado and California, and that when we're visiting those places, that we will go to you over some of these other dispensaries that are out there. Because, I mean, I'm in Colorado. I've been to these places. They are very white spaces. A lot of white girls named Brittany with dreads.
Oh, my God. Okay. Let's stop. I don't want to talk about it anymore. You just killed my spirit.
Well, they're there.
They're everywhere. They're
all very, yeah. But, you know, I want us to make that money. Shit, I've got, as I start getting some money to invest, I want to invest in y'all.
Yeah. So I have to rush this because my laptop's actually about to die.
Okay.
So you can find us on the internet because we just finished another episode. Woo!
Yeah! Black Girls Laughing's done it again. Staying, like,
real consistent. Yeah.
Like, we're just, this is, I mean, me moving across the country was the best thing to happen. Black Girls
Laughing. So, you can find us on the internet at blackgirlslaughing.com, on Facebook /blackgirlslaughing, on Twitter and Instagram at BLKGirlsLaughing with an OG, and email us at blackgirlslaughing@gmail.com. Please rate us on, leave us a review on iTunes. Please repost and reshare our episodes via SoundCloud. And please find us tweeting this weekend at the end of the week, since that's when you'll catch this, using #BlackPodcastWeek. And we will see y'all next week.
Bye, friends. Bye. We love you.